Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. A lot of stuff to cover on today's two-hour radio spectacular. However, first off, I have to give a little shout-out to my buddy Eric Douglas, booksbyeric.com. Eric's having a little medical procedure done this week, and we wish him all the best, thinking about him and his family. Hate to hear these kind of things go down, but we know he'll be better for it once he gets through it, and look forward to talking to him again on the big show. So I'm going to leave it at that for now, but just know we're thinking of our dive buddy this week a little bit while we do the show. That said, I have a couple of my good friends on the show with us. Jerry the Diver Guy from Virginia. How are you, Jerry?
What's going on?
Yes, absolutely. He hadn't been recruited for Survivor just yet. Still working on it. Also, we have Pete from Scuba Board on Scuba Radio.
¿Qué pasa?
In the Florida Keys. So this is your crew, at least for the time being. We got a lot to talk about, guys. And, you know, I know everybody is thinking of Eric, and, you know, he's going through a little medical procedure thing right now, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but it sucks. I know that much, and we wish him the best. I know you do as well, Pete. And I don't know, it's like a trifecta. I'm hearing about all kinds of people having medical things this week. I was reading something about some issue you had on Facebook that was somewhat disturbing to see. Well, I didn't see it, thank God, but reading about it kind of burned a mental image into my mind that I wish I could get rid of. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Well, it was like the Hobbit thing.
It was like the
this
Hobbit.
This shall
thing.
Not pass.
Okay. Kidney stones is what we're talking about. You might have been thinking about some kind of like elephant foot disease or something, but no, it, yeah. Yeah, you had a kidney stone, and you described it pretty vividly there on Facebook there, Pete, but you're okay.
Well, it wasn't that vivid. It was
vivid enough.
Discomfort.
Yes. I mean, any time when you talk about passing anything through that particular orifice, I think guys can relate when I say this is a something we don't really want to think about. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? And what has it done? It's actually, you know, I get a prostate exam every other year or so. I've had a prostate exam. I've had the urinalysis going up there. You know, everything is checking out. So even though it was a little discomfort and a lot of blood, you know, it's just, it was good to have stuff checked out. And you know, the problem is as we get older, which is a good thing, stuff starts breaking down. And before we get in the water, you really need to get this stuff all checked out. It's not wise to go in blind.
Yeah, well, I would agree. And,
well, that's the only way to go in. It's blind.
Okay. Obviously, Jerry has been...
At least you don't want to bend over and say, ah.
Oh, brother. Hey, he's been sipping on some spring water there in the mountains of Virginia, I have a feeling, today. But what's new? But, yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe it's this is just a reminder, like, look, you got to take care of yourself when you're, you know, thinking about being a diver. You don't want any of these issues to pop up when you're underwater. So, obviously, when you're down for the count or on your surface interval, make sure you take care of yourself. Keep yourself fit. Go see your doctor and all that kind of good stuff so nothing creeps up on you and ruins a potential dive adventure that you have planned. I guess we can take that as the moral of the story this week.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, right. You know, when stuff happens down below, and I'm talking about underwater.
Yes, I hope so.
It's a whole lot harder to take care of.
True. It is. It can turn into a much
more... Take care of it on the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on to some more positive stuff. You know, last week we had Howard and John on from the, well, you know, John Chatterton, Howard Ehrenberg from, that are on the Curse of Oak Island, the TV show on History Channel. Did you guys see it this past Tuesday or what?
Oh, yeah.
I have it recorded. I was busy, so I have to go watch it yet, but yeah. I do have it recorded.
There is the art of the tease on this show. I got to give him credit because I'm waiting for John to get down there and do the dive, and I, of course, they get about halfway through it, and then they tease you into the next week's episode, which I guess is the season finale of The Curse of Oak Island. So they do, John did get to the bottom of this, like, I don't know, 300-foot hole. That was like 27 inches in diameter, a tiny little thing. And when you watch them do this on the TV show, I mean, I've met John over the years. I know he's kind of insane, but man, he just proves it on the show. And it's pretty crazy stuff. You saw it, right, Jerry? What do you think? You agree with me on this or what?
There's no way that I would went down that hole.
That's right.
Not no 27 inches.
Not no.
John is crazy.
He is mofo for sure. But God bless him.
And he's skinny.
Well, he would have to be able to fit down through that hole in that pipe. You know, he's diving through a little PVC tube or something.
He doesn't have nothing to suck in.
They'd have to get a ramrod to get me down that hole.
Well, hey.
Keep jumping on it. Wham, wham, wham.
Yeah. You know, I was kidding with him last week. I said, look, you're like doing a Santa Claus dive, diving down a chimney. And the more I saw the show last Tuesday night, the more I realized that I described it perfectly. That's exactly what he did for like 250, 300 feet. It's a crazy kind of dive that he did. And he did get to the bottom. They showed that much, and then evidently they'll finish it up on next week's episode. Now, we hope to connect with John here before the show's out this week and get a little bit more detail, see what else he can share with us as they ramp up for the finale. And I guess, you know, they do the show at 9 o'clock on History Channel Eastern Time. And then after the show airs, they have some kind of roundtable discussion. Him and Howard are going to be a part of that. So you can get 2 full hours of this show this week and hear maybe even more details of what Howard and John went through you know, helping these guys out, find out, you know, if there indeed is a curse of on Oak Island. But it's a great show. I love this stuff, and I love the fact that they are incorporating diving into a TV show. You know, I don't talk about this stuff enough, or from my perspective, maybe too much for many others. But, Pete, are you with me when it comes to this type of exposure we get for diving on a show like The Curse of Oak Island? All that can come of it is good, as far as I'm concerned.
Hallelujah, brother. Say amen.
Yeah.
You know, this is the type of thing where they're not trying to set a record. They're not putting themselves in, you know, in too of a mortal danger. We're going to have a negative impact on the sport of diving. I think this is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's very mission based of what they're doing, but hopefully it'll, you know, it adds a sense of adventure to what we do sometimes as diving. Now the kind of stuff John's doing is insane, of course.
But I think that John needs to change his name, though.
What's that? What do you think he should do?
Jacques Clouseau. Yeah, like Inspector Clouseau, mystery.
Okay, I just think he should get a cape. A cape and maybe one a face mask.
There you go, cape works.
Yeah, I told him he's kind of like a superhero. Him and, you know, and Howard's like his, you know, his sidekick. So
there you go. Howard's, you know, a good sidekick.
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But like I said, we hope to connect with John. We'll get to, you know, get a little bit more of what's going on for this week's episode coming up Tuesday. However, I just love the fact that this is happening. You know, the more stuff we get when they incorporate diving into this, just like we're trying to get, you know, Jerry the Diver Guy on Survivor. You know about this campaign, right, Pete? You know,
he's got my vote.
I don't know.
We need to get more of these people like him, the average Joes. We need more people like John. We need more diving.
Yeah, well,
divers.
There can only be so many diving superheroes. Let's be real. However, there can be more Jerry the Diver Guys that we get, like divers just exposed into, you know, shows like Survivor or
That way, Jerry. Keep your pants on.
I could never live up to John Chatterton, though. Well, I mean, that's impossible.
Well, you're not really going for that level of professionalism on Survivor. You're just going to be a diver, be yourself, and share with the world how cool it is to be a diver, period. And that doesn't mean you have to be like a superhero diver. It just means you have to be a diver that loves to dive and share the love of, you know, the underwater world, Jerry. And you have that passion.
So I don't have to be crazy in the water.
Well,
dude, you are crazy in the water.
Just, once again, be yourself.
Don't die.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could do that too. Don't die. Yeah.
Don't die.
That's the common, you know, I don't know. That's what they send all of us off with. My wife says that to me when I go out on a dive trip. But, you know, that's a whole different thing. You know, all you got to do is be yourself because you're crazy as it is. Okay, Jerry? You got that base covered. So just go there, do that, and let people see how fun it is to dive for those folks that are in our little club. Like we are right here.
For diving.
This is a very exclusive club right here in Scuba Radio. You should feel privileged to be a part of this club. I know I do. And we'll continue our little meeting next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Going face to face, or face to snout, I suppose, with a giant shark. The woman who shot this video tells us the folks who helped her into that cage hope to change shark's reputation as a vicious man-eater.
There's some sharks in that water, that water. That water, you can't swim in that water. That water, that water, you won't win in that water. That water, that water, there's some sharks in that water. That water, that water, you won't win in that water.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Pete from Scuba Board, also Jerry the Diver Guy. We are your crew today as we're navigating the latest diving news and information. All right, so Pete, you know, being that you manage Scuba Board and you guys are talking about everything under the sun and especially underwater quite a bit, I know you guys, you always get those little tidbits online about new dive equipment that is hitting the market or coming to fruition that we might be able to get our hands on as divers. And actually, Vinny Two Tanks forwarded this little press release to me. and said, hey, you need to get Pete from Scuba Board on this and find out if this is the new thing. Because he knows you are a big rebreather diver. You just purchased one. You were talking about that last week or the week before. That was your birthday gift to yourself, right?
Exactly.
Now they come out with a new rebreather, or there's a conceptual rebreather that basically is built into a motorcycle helmet. So instead of having all the other tanks and everything in your rebreather is built into a face mask motorcycle helmet looking thing that you jump in the water and dive to your heart's content. You want one, or do you think this is a real or fiction or what?
Yeah, you know, I'm not real sure. I do see we have a couple threads. Swiss diving helmet combined to a rebreather. Could a rebreather helmet revolutionize diving? Full helmet rebreather.
Right.
Sounds like a movie almost.
Yeah,
helmet rebreather.
Yes, it's very James Bond-like. It reminds me of that contraption that circulated. Well, it's been circulating for a few years where it claims that you just put this mouthpiece in your mouth, and it has two little contraptions off to the side of it, like little mini scuba tanks. They're actually scrubbers, but they claim that, you know, in the press release, that this new contraption will actually suck the air out of the surrounding water so you can breathe and stay underwater for extended periods of time, which sounds like total hogwash futuristic.
I think it's going
nonsense.
To suck the life out of the diver.
Yeah, it's one of those urban legend. We got to check Snopes on this.
They don't have that on Scuboard. What they're showing is a Mark 7 helmet with a rebreather attached to it, but a normal rebreather, big one.
Hmm. Well, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this
thing.
Well,
I get that.
Yeah.
I just found one that's got Orb 2 oxygen rebreather.
Right, right. It actually even has the
Bole on the side.
Yeah, Bole. Bole. It has the brand.
Two flashlights on the top.
It looks really cool. Very futuristic,
what is it
for sure.
Bole, B-O-L-E-T?
Bole is the
oxygen
brand.
Oxygen rebreather.
Yeah, the Orb, O-R-B.
The Orb?
Yeah. Scuba diving helmet designed to recycle your own oxygen in order to breathe underwater. I mean, this is either...
They're telling you you're going to recycle your own oxygen?
Yeah.
They fish do it every day.
Oh, yeah, I guess they do, in one sense, maybe. Yeah, you know, you stick a tube up your rear end, and then, no, that's not how this works. This is all around the head. But it looks like when the guy's wearing it, he looks like a friggin' alien. But it has some kind of weird, flat contraption, bug-looking thing on the front of it. And it looks very futuristic. It looks like something you would see in a TV show, you know, about diving in the future or something. But, you know, this particular press release thing, you know, it claims it's from this university, blah, blah, blah. To me, it looks like an urban legend kind of contraption.
Did you read the one sentence that says, it's important to note the rebreather helmet, while exciting, is only in the conceptual phase?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is futuristic type of, you know, wishful thinking. This Star Trek type stuff, you know, that they'd like to see happen. And sure, I would too. But people see this and think, ooh, this is a new product that, you know, I'll just wait another week or two and I'll buy one of these instead. And
did you see that ORB stands for oxygen rebreather?
How? That just makes so much sense. I mean, maybe this is legit. I don't know.
No, it's not legit. Oh, it's on Scuba Board.
But
if you look at the bottom,
there's all kinds of comments at the bottom of this one page. And it's this one guy's wanting to know how they're going to fit all the components up there.
Yeah, well, you know, you figure anybody smart enough to buy one doesn't have anything else in there. So there's plenty of space left over for...
It's life, Jim, yeah. Not as we know it.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well,
is that the part where we say insert tube here and bend over?
Maybe.
Or bend over and insert tube?
Yeah, I think the latter probably makes more sense. But it would be cool, and we very well may see it in the next Star Trek movie or, you know, Star Wars or whatever. But definitely,
if wishes were fishes,
okay,
we'd all be riches.
Conceptual stuff for sure. All right, so you're not, you're still pretty happy that you went ahead and purchased your rebreather the way it is.
Oh hell
now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, dude.
You don't feel you
there's
jumped
no
the
doubt
gun.
In my mind that if I waited for this, you know, I'd have to. Break the first rule of scuba diving that says don't hold your breath.
True. Okay, there you go. And all right,
that's
well,
an interesting point there, Pete.
He's always thinking as like a dive instructor kind of guy. Well, since we all are, all three of us are dive instructors, so we know the rules, and we'll use them accordingly, right, Jerry?
It's like a meeting of the minds.
Maybe. It's a meeting.
We don't need no stinking rules.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm getting ready to head to Cuba. I was talking about that last week. We got our travel plans in place. We're going down there on a little adventure in February. I'm pretty damn excited about this. Have you been to Cuba, Pete, or no?
A long time ago. I think 2002, 2003, back when I still had my Colombian passport.
Yeah?
It was fun.
Yeah. What did you do then? I mean, were you a diving thing then? Were you doing that kind of stuff?
Actually, I went diving. I was there for 5 days, not a full week, and I went diving 3 of the days. This is on the south side of Cuba. I'm trying to remember the name of that little town. The best part of it was some of the reefs are just absolutely pristine. The bad part of it was sometimes we came across places where they had just drugged the nets and wiped it out.
Mm.
And, you know, it was just, it was like extremes. It was either ridiculously pretty or ridiculously, wow, they really screwed it up.
Yeah, well, so, they have a marine park down there that's, you know, it's enforced pretty, you know, strictly, evidently, and it's
good
paid
on
off.
Them.
Yes, but you got to land in Havana and then take a bus ride for like 3 hours to the other side of the island to get to it. So that's what we're planning to do. We're working on some research, marine research and cultural exchange type stuff that we're doing with the Guy Harvey Institute folks. Matter of fact, we may have Mr. Neil Watson on the show to talk about that a little bit later on as well. So you will hear all about it right here on the show, of course. So we got a lot of stuff going on, and we got much more to talk about. So stick around with Pete from Scuba Board and Jerry the Diver Guy next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Pete from Scuba Board and Jerry the Diver Guy, who's in the mountains of Virginia sipping spring water as usual. In fine form, as always. And Jerry, you're going to join us at BTS Beneath the Sea, the dive show. April Fool's Day is when it kicks off. Happens to be our 19-year anniversary, but in New Jersey. You're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We've got it on the books, so hopefully everything works out and we're there.
Yeah, we got some new mermaids that we're going to put on display. We got some great prizes to give away as part of our 19-year anniversary, and they're expecting
April Fools.
No, it's not. No fooling. You jumped the gun there, Pete. No, we really will do this. It just happens to be our anniversary, our 19-year anniversary, and it just happens to be April Fool's Day. So, man, that kicks off the show. So there you go. Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Secaucus, New Jersey, right there in the New York area. Make sure you're there. BeneathTheSea.org is the website to get all the information and join us for all the fun and festivities.
You're going to have to party without me.
I know. I saw some press release you guys put out. You're doing something that weekend instead. What's going on there, Pete?
We have Scuba Fool on Scuba Board. It has his mega dive at Jenny Springs, and we've invited Scuba Nation, who's going to come down and video an episode for Scuba Nation with all the denizens from Scuba Board.
Okay, so wait a minute. You're announcing a dive on Fool's Day. Do you think anyone's actually going to fall for that, you know, gag? They're going to show up, or they think, yeah, they're joking around. I'm not going to show up. I'll be the only one there, and they'll film it and put it up on YouTube.
Last year, we had probably close to 120 people come to our April Fool's Dive, including 4 universities.
Really? Well, that's...
Yeah. That's, so it's kind of cool. You get all these people from all over. They want to go do something on that weekend. It's spring. You know, it's warming up. Bikinis are out. Did I say the bikinis are out? Because they're out.
Wait, whoa.
And,
whoa,
whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa.
Whoa.
Jerry.
Wait, back up, back up. We're going to have bikinis.
We're going to have mermaids and bikinis and all kinds of crazy stuff. So you'll be covered.
I might go south.
You'll be able to go south and stay in Jersey, which we probably shouldn't have said that on the air. Hey, you got a new upgraded version of scubaboard.com to check out as well. So take a look. And we got more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Bulavinaka and Magikan of Matava Eco Resort, Nadeva Kandavu, south of the Pacific Islands in Fiji. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to scuba diving. And now here's a guy I got liquored up enough to put on a grass skirt. Greg the Dive Master.
Greg, you wicked girl.
Okay. Not sure how to take that, but it wouldn't be the first time. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and his ears must have been burning because, of course, yes, we do have John Chatterton on the big show right now. John, how are you? And welcome once again.
Good to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're busy. You're doing like the world press tour right now with this Curse of Oak Island thing, aren't you? Or what?
I'm busy. I'm busy for a lazy guy, I guess.
Oh, is that it? No, I kind of doubt it.
I went into commercial diving just because I didn't want to stand on my feet all day.
So. Okay. Well, if you say so. You know, he's one of us. He's a diver, and that's what's neat about John. I mean, I kid, and I call him like a superhero of diving, but it's the God's honest truth. And
I don't have to wear the leotards, right?
Well, you don't have to, but I think that would be a nice little upgrade. That'd be a new I suggested a cape and a mask. You know, if you want to go with the leotards, that's up to you.
But, that was a problem the last time I went into the 7-Eleven dress.
Okay. Yeah, so. All right. Well, it has a tendency to do that outside of the Halloween time period. But whatever. We would accept you either way there, John. But he is one of us. But you do these crazy things. I mean, that TV show, Curse of Oak Island, we were talking about it last week on the show. And you and Howard, your sidekick. We were talking about it before the show aired this past Tuesday, but I got to tell you, after watching it, I'm like, my God, look at all this crazy stuff he's doing. It really is. I mean, when you talk about it and explain what you're doing, it's pretty intense, but you got this like ironclad personality or just confidence to go in there. It's like, hey, I can do this. This is no sweat. I mean,
We all do this to a certain degree. It's like before you jump in the water, what is it exactly I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you dive in the reef, you're going to have some kind of plan. And dives that are more challenging, dives that are have a higher level of difficulty, what you want to do is just develop a more intricate plan. Mm. And that's what Howard and I did. We put together a nice dive plan for this thing. We figured out the problems ahead of time, and then it's just a matter of implementing the plan.
Yeah. So it just goes back to that same old diving 101 rule, plan your dive, dive your plan, except your plan is like super complicated.
Well, in all honesty, we had a written document that was our dive plan, and I don't know, it's 30 pages, 50 mm-hmm. pages, something
right.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty intense stuff, but it has to be when you're diving through a tube that's like 27 inches in diameter or whatever. It's just crazy stuff.
Well, philosophically speaking, they were all focused on the 27-inch diameter, and I was like, 27-inch diameter, the government of Canada said it was too small for diver access, but 27 inches, it's like, okay, 27 inches really shouldn't be a problem. The problem was they knew there was a piece of drill pipe in the hole.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, you start looking at it from a technical perspective. Okay, well, if the drill pipe was literally laying alongside the hole, now we're not 27 inches, we're kind of down to like 21 inches. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, it's probably not going to be laying exactly the best possible way. So what's the worst possible way? Well, if the thing went right across the middle and you couldn't move it and you had no other way of dealing with it, then you say, well, it's cutting the 27 inches right in half, and it's 6 inches in the middle, so that then it's like 10-11 inches on either side. Well, that's pretty tight. That's starting to get down to where it's the determining factor, quite frankly, then starts to become the helmet.
Ah, okay.
But, we took a very professional approach to it. Those guys really wanted, they wanted us to make the dive. And, I think somebody said, I spent a lot of my time just, talking them in off the ledge.
Yeah, your confidence, I think, made them feel better about the whole process, because you could see the concern on their eyes and their expression and stuff, and you put them at ease because you came in there and like, I can do this, is no problem. We got a plan. We'll do it.
Well, granted, there were a lot of things we didn't know about the dive, but
right.
to balance that, there were also a lot of things that we did know about the dive. They were real good about documenting stuff. But Howard and I walked up to the top of the caisson and looked down in the holes, and those guys were like, so do you still want to do it? It's like, what makes you think this looks any different now than it does, in all the video we've looked at?
Yeah, well, exactly. They're thinking, these guys have no idea what they're getting themselves into. But you had done your homework. You knew what you're getting yourself into. You had done this type of stuff with all your commercial diving experience in the past and that kind of thing. But still, it has to be intimidating. And you made reference to this last week on the show when we were talking about this appearance you made on Curse of Oak Island, which, by the way, you guys continue this coming Tuesday 9 o'clock on the History Channel, so make sure you look it up and watch this. But you were talking about the video makes the visibility look better than it actually is, and you could see a little bit on the the TV screen, but it still looked pretty murky to me. What do you think?
The camera always sees better than the human eye. Mm-hmm. If you're down there and you're diving, regardless of whether you're on hard hat or scuba diving or whatever, and you're using a decent quality video camera, the camera always sees better than you do, and the camera definitely remembers better than you do.
Well, good point. Yeah,
but we had quite a bit of information. We looked at the video that they had, and this was in our minds a very doable project. And you could get down there and one of the unknown factors comes into play, if we weren't going to be able to do it, we were going to be able to give them very specific answers as to why it couldn't be done and what their options might be. Mm-hmm. But it's thinking it through. We have an adage in commercial diving: don't do anything in the water that you can't do topside. Don't say I'm going to go in the water and then I'll start from once upon a time.
Yeah,
do your preparation, do your homework, get all that stuff out of the way.
But once you get down there and you're talking about the unknowns, like that that drill bit that had fallen down into the hole that you were going to have to navigate around. You didn't know how it was going to be once you got down there necessarily. Are you just feeling around, or can you actually see it when you get down there?
It's obviously steel drill pipe, so it's always got to have a light coating of rust on it. So visibility kind of came and went. Was never really good visibility. But if you're in a 27 inch shaft, you still have that tactile experience. It's not something so far away that you can't get your hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had there were things that were totally unexpected, but there were things that, you know, well, we already knew, and some things are like, well, we know this much about it, like the pipe,
right?
You know, are we going to be able to get around it?
Well, you got hung up on that, and I mean that got fairly tense on the TV show. Was it a nervous point for you as well personally, or were you like, okay, no problem, we'll just work through the plan?
You know, I actually, you're gonna see more of that on the coming episode. But mm-hmm. it is, you know, anytime you're moving, you're progressing, and you get stopped until you sort the problem out. Obviously, you're not going to experience something that you haven't already experienced. If you've done a lot of diving in a situation like that.
Right.
But, I mean, sometimes solving the problem can be physically rather demanding and sometimes intellectually demanding. So it's a matter of sorting the problem out and making it happen. You know, sometimes you're using expletives, you know, underneath your breath.
Uh-huh. Okay. That they conveniently edit out of the show.
You either get the beep or they just cut it out entirely.
Exactly. All right. John Chatterton is our guest, and we got more with him next as we talk about The Curse of Oak Island, airing on the History Channel right now. More coming up. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, look here. Every once in a while, okay, there's a technological breakthrough. All right? It's what we call in the business a game changer. They got these things today, I'm telling you. You can go deep sea diving with one. Okay. First, there was the clapper. You got the slap chop. George Foreman grill. Then you got this little baby right here. Okay. It tells you all the stuff about the oxygen content in your tank. If I'd have had this thing back in high school, the depth, okay, that you can go. You talking about do some math.
That watch does it?
No, this thing here only costs $25. It's a calculator.
He's a high-tech diver, underwater man, mystery. genuine survivor. With all the latest dive technology.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got John Chatterton on the line with me right now. He is being featured along with his buddy Howard, sidekick Howard Ehrenberg, by the way. I finally got his last name pronounced somewhat correctly, didn't I, John?
I thought it was Harold.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, you know what? You might got me on that one.
I've been calling him Harold for years now. I'm going to have to go call him up and check him.
I like it. All right. Well, yeah, you know, John and Howard are featured on The Curse of Oak Island, this cool TV show that's airing on History Channel right now. Season finale this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And both of you guys, I think, are featured in the After the Show that they do after the airing 9 o'clock, I believe, right?
Yeah, no, we're both going to be on Drilling Down, the after show mm-hmm. on for Mystery of Oak Island. And you know, I got to say, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of TV, I've worked for a lot of people, and the guys who produce this show are great guys. Mm-hmm. Rick, Marty, Craig, all the guys that are up there working on Oak Island, the cast of the show is so not a cast at all, and they're guys who are just genuinely interested in Oak Island and solving the mystery, and this is a personal challenge to them, mm-hmm. and they don't mind getting their hands dirty, and it was a real pleasure for us to work with them, and after. You know, we're working up in Canada. We had fun on drilling down as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it does come across the guys on that show. I mean, it does seem very legit, and you can tell the passion they have for the project. And I'm sure they were just as impressed with you as everybody else is who meets you and hear some of these crazy stories and see that, hey, you just act like one of the guys. It's pretty impressive. You just mix in with a wide range of colorful characters, John. You hear what I'm saying? And I mean that as a compliment.
You know, I have been incredibly fortunate in diving. The dive community has been extraordinarily good to me and supportive and all that. You know, I continue to be amazed at how many interesting people there are out there that really kind of are aggressively pursuing life. And it's certainly fun to, you know, share an adventure with them. And, you know, God only knows what's coming next.
Well, you know, the thing about John is that, you know, he'll be on this show, Curse of Oak Island, on History Channel, doing this crazy, insane technical diving. and then I'll get a call, like, from a listener down in South Florida. Say, hey, Greg, guess what? I was on the dive boat with John Chatterton this morning, and we were lobster diving. He was spearing fish, and I got to dive with him. It's so freaking, and so, I mean, you just go down and play dive actually fairly often down there in South Florida, right?
Yeah, no, I live down in Boca, but hopefully the guy's not calling the show and saying, I got more lobster than...
I beat John Chatterton on lobster diving this morning, Greg. That call hasn't come yet, John. I think your badge of honor and your reputation
I don't mind a guy getting more lobster than me. I just don't want him rubbing my nose.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, it was a lady. She just said I looked way better than him. She actually said he looks really nice in person. I was really shocked. I thought it was all makeup and stuff, but no. But, you know, all the gear you brought over for that project and the Curse of Oak Island, was that all your gear, by the way, the Kirby Morgan masks and the umbilicals? And I mean, it looked like you had a semi-trailer worth of dive gear to pull that dive off.
You know, Mike Huntley is a commercial diver up in Canada there, and we used a lot of his commercial dive gear. In other words, he had the hot water machine.
Okay.
He was the standby diver for the dives. And again, what a great guy. He's got a nice operation up there.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he text messaged me, I think he was down in Cancun or something like that. He's like, oh, it's too cold up there for me. So,
yeah.
You know, we're kind of the same mindset. But, you know, a lot of the gear was gear that was already up in Canada,
mm-hmm.
so that we didn't have to bring it in. But you know, your personal dive gear, you know, helmet, suit, boots, gloves, knives, all that kind of stuff that's all stuff that you want to bring yourself.
Yeah, I would imagine your garage is full of even more stuff than I have, and I got a lot of crap. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, man, you don't know the half of it. You know, I keep trying to stay ahead of that wave, but I probably have more broken dive gear than I have really working dive gear.
Well, hey.
And sometimes it's just hard to part with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're mementos. They're our little souvenir. Well, yeah, okay, we're kind of hoarders. We're diving hoarders, aren't we? But
yeah.
We'll let our spouses deal with that. All right, well, John Chatterton is the guy to watch on Curse of Oak Island, his buddy Howard Ehrenberg. This Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Make sure you check it out on the History Channel. John, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend. Look forward to seeing what happens this week.
Greg, next time you get a chance, like, you know, come on down. Let's go diving. Quit staying in the office.
All right, quit talking about it and go do it, is what you're saying.
There you go.
All right, I'll see what we can do. All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is coming up. Stick around, just getting started.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.